We've got two readings this morning. Our first reading is Psalm 100, and we'll read the whole lot. It's a short one, though. All right, Psalm 100, starting verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Our second reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks, Sue. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. My name is Tim. If you're visiting with us today, a big warm welcome from me. It's great to have you join us in our church family here at the Lakes. Now, God's people, the picture you get in the Bible is that God's people have always been a singing people. I wasn't always a singer in church. I didn't particularly like it. I'd actually act a lot like it was eating my Brussels sprouts to sing in church. But now I thoroughly love it. Thoroughly love it. It's one of my favourite experiences, and I've come to grow in my singing of God's praises with one another, and not just to enjoy it, but to understand more and more why I sing and that I must sing. As I said, God's people have always been a singing people. You kind of get this picture in the Bible. This is the pattern all throughout the Bible, that as God has saved his people, and they grasp that, they actually experience joy, and that overflows in them coming together to sing. I loved Easter Sunday, so just last Sunday, I found that several times as I was singing with us, I was very conscious that we were in the moment, very aware of the truth of what we're singing, and that God had saved us graciously, and we were experiencing joy. It was Easter Sunday. Most people had come very intentionally aware what God has done for us. We experienced the joy, and this room was filled with God's praises. And that was wonderful. And lots of times on a Sunday, it's like that. We had a wonderful time of singing just now. Some Sundays, you know, sometimes you can turn up, or I can turn up, you might relate to this, and there doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of people here singing, but most of the time, we're here and we're singing, and I would love our singing here at church to be like Easter Sunday every single Sunday. And my desire for that is not just because I like it and I enjoy the experience, but it's as one of your pastors, I want us to see that coming together and singing God's praises, God has actually called us to do that for our good. He has designed us and singing that as we come together, He will work through that for our spiritual health. Now that might be a little bit surprising to some of us, that God has singing when we gather as a very potent place where God will form us to be more in love with Christ, more like Christ in every single way. And for those of us who, like me, feel that singing is a little bit like eating Brussels sprouts, then today I pray that you'll be encouraged to see that singing with God's people, God has given to us for your spiritual health. And that if you don't sing, there's something deficient that will be going on. And for us who do like it, and we kind of lean into it when we're here, you may not have grasped, actually, even as you like it, just how significant singing is in the gathering for your spiritual health. And that might result in, it's easy to be distracted about the singing and maybe turn up sometimes for it, opt in, opt out. But I pray too that you'll see that it's for your spiritual health and for the spiritual health of other people. And I also realise that there's probably some people, as we have every week here, who are not yet following Jesus, and you're here with us. And look, today we are very much talking to us as Christians about our singing, but I'm sure if you're not yet a Christian following the Lord Jesus, I'm sure that you have thought, it is a little bit strange how these people do come in week in, week out, and sing together. Well, keep thinking about it. You are invited to listen to the truths that we sing about and our prayers that one day very soon you will enjoy. So over the next 3 weeks, we're kind of taking a little bit of a health check on our singing. And my prayer is that however comfortable you are with singing or not, or how conscious you are with what we're doing, that for wherever we are, we will shift the dial a couple of notches in understanding what we're doing and participating. And today we're going to look at a couple of passages from the New Testament that show us that singing is God's potent, God-given gift to us. Now we just read one of them, which was Colossians 3. So 30,000 foot view of the letter of Colossians that Suze gave us chapter 3 from. So Paul writes it, and he writes to the Colossians, he's somewhere else, but he's super excited that they've become Christians. And he's absolutely thrilled. So he writes this letter and he's saying, I'm hearing about it. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. He prays earnestly that the Spirit will work in their life and form them to be more and more like Christ. And so you get to chapter 3, and he is particularly calling on Christians to, now that they are Christians, to pay attention as a community to how they form themselves to be more and more like Christ. So let me just remind you of a couple of things that were said at the start of chapter 3. There Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ as a community, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He is saying that the whole gospel message is great news because your entire identity has been changed. You once were lost, but now you are counted in Christ, and all the blessings that God has for Christ, He will give for you. Your life is now hidden in God. So there's the identity. And then in verse 4, he talks about a destiny because of our identity. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the wonderful thing about being a Christian, a new identity and a new destiny. And so you would have heard, as Suze was reading that chapter, that Paul says, because of that, and because God's giving his church the Spirit, work at forming yourselves into being like Christ. And all the language in that chapter were kind of put off the old way of living, the old practices, and put on the new way of living, which is following Christ. Very much the imagery is like clothing. Put off this old clothing, put on this new clothing. With the goal, which is picked up in verse 9 and 10, to form into the image of Christ. So have a look at that. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And Paul shows all throughout this book that Jesus is the exact image of God as a human being. So now, Paul calls the church, as they gather together, to pay attention and allow God to work amongst them to form them into Christ. So have a look at verse 15. Verse 15, Paul calls upon the church to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. In that little verse, as he encourages people to come together and what they are to allow to take place, he mentions three dynamics which all of the passages in the New Testament that show God's people gathering together have these three dynamics going on when they gather. Three dynamics that if they are taking place as we gather together, God promises he is working with us to form us into being like Christ more and more. And I can represent those dynamics in a triangle. It's not the Pink Floyd logo, but it's helpful. I've seen this around with lots of different people using it, and I find it really helpful. These three dynamics, if they are happening in a gathering, God is forming us to be more and more like Jesus to his glory. So the first is you have, and this is the primary dynamic in any gathering, is that God comes to us through his word and spirit. So you saw in verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So a Christian gathering are people who have heard of God and all that he has done for them in Christ in creating peace with him, reconciliation with God. And we don't find that out by ourselves. God in his mercy and grace reveals that to us. That's the first and most primary thing for any of our formation, is that God tells us of his grace towards us. And you see at the end of verse 15, it says, as a result, the people that are gathered together are thankful. And so that's the other dimension that you have when people gather together, is that as a result of God revealing his grace to us, we express our thanks back to him as we repent and trust and express our gratitude towards him. That movement, that dynamic is going on in the gathering. And then there's a third one, which is towards one another, we share the gracious good news and peace of Christ with one another. So that verse in verse 15 talks about that we are members of one body and we are called to peace. Peace, again, referencing God's word. We both live it out towards one another and we share it with one another. Now, if those three things are happening, and look, most of the things that we do together here at church, those three dynamics are happening simultaneously. As those three things are happening as we gather together, God says he will form us by his Spirit to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's striking is that singing gets foregrounded, as Paul, several times throughout the New Testament, as he talks about gatherings coming together to form into Christ, he is not shy about singing. In fact, he foregrounds just how potent singing is with these three dynamics. So have a look at verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude. Singing is there foregrounded as a potent way that God is going to work in us to form us into Christ. And you see there, it's an exhortation, a command, where Paul sees that it is necessary for our spiritual health and maturity and growth to come together and sing like this. It makes me wonder at this point, what is it particularly about singing? You know, what does singing kind of do that maybe other things aren't doing? Because he's foregrounding, particularly do singing as you come together. Let's just hold that question, and if I get time, we'll come back to it. But it's not just singing in general that does it. Even as Paul talks about the singing, he really has those three dynamics that we just had a look at going on. It's almost parallel. So have a look at this. As we sing, the first movement is let the message of Christ dwell among you. So as we sing, we are singing the words about God and his truth and his grace to us. And so that as we sing, God, insofar as our lyrics match God's word and his truth, God is actually speaking and ministering to us his grace. And then as we sing songs with gratitude in our hearts towards God, again, we are being responsive to God's grace. We are sharing to God our praise of him, and we are doing that collectively. As we sing psalms, like he calls out psalms, you go back to the Old Testament book of Psalms, there are a lot of poems and songs, and primarily they're prayers and also songs of praise. So as we sing psalms or songs built off psalms, we are engaging in praying to God. We are confessing and asking and giving him the gratitude that he deserves. And then also you have, it's explicit that as we are singing together, we are teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Paul's really conscious as he's been praying all through this letter that the Spirit, insofar as the songs are talking about God's truth and they are fostering gratitude back, the Spirit is actually working amongst us and forming us to be more and more like Christ. There's another passage where, again, Paul very explicitly foregrounds that singing is a potent God-given gift for us, and that comes up in Ephesians chapter 5. And again, the same context, just leading up to these few verses, Paul is again talking about the Christian community changing and forming to be more and more like Christ. He says that you were once darkness, now you live as the light, so be wise how you live. And it's in that context, to be wise how you live, that he actually calls people to do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage even seems to have a stronger emphasis on just how God will fill us and form us through our singing as we gather together. Now, singing is not the most important, to be clear. Singing is not the most important thing that we do when we gather. 1 Timothy 4 says as a priority, when we gather, we are to prioritize the public reading of God's word and preaching and teaching from that. So that is first and foremost, but singing is certainly foregrounded as the next thing almost that we should be doing, that God is going to potently, through his grace, work through us. Paul is highlighting through these passages that when we sing, God's grace comes to us. He shares the good news of his grace. He reminds us of that. We are nourished by his grace. We collectively express our thanks for his grace back towards him. And we are sharing God's wonderful grace through Jesus to one another when we sing. Look, again, it makes me ask the question, what exactly is going on when we sing? You know, what is it particularly about singing? So again, I'll just park that question, and if we get time, we'll come back to it. But let's take a moment now to do a little bit of a health check, right? I'm going to put a statement up on the screen, and I encourage you to talk to the person next to you about it, and just how you feel about it. So here's the statement. When we come together as God's people, we have the privilege and responsibility to sing. Okay, so maybe just if you can share honestly how you feel about that. Are you comfortable or not? Those kind of things. Not really talking about style of music or traditional versus contemporary, or length of song versus short, but the actual responsibility and privilege to sing together. And would you like some thinking music? Would that help? I won't do that for you. Hopefully, Harry, I didn't stuff up your controls. Okay, I'll cut you short. I know I'm cutting you short, but hopefully you got a chance to. Look, as I walk and talk amongst us here in our church family, I often hear lots of comments and opinions and even people sharing their attitude towards music and singing here at our church family. And look, there's some people that say, I totally love it. I absolutely love it, and it just ends way too soon. So let me just give a shout-out plug. We have our prayer and praise night coming up in May, and that's a great chance where we've got extended singing. But look, there are also people that will come up to me and be quite explicit and say, I don't like singing. It's not me, and they're the kind of Brussels sprouts people. You know, it feels like you're eating your Brussels sprouts if you are singing. And look, so maybe that's two ends of the spectrum, right? Okay, so there's people that I totally don't like it, and there's people that I do like it. But then I reckon in the middle, there's a kind of take it or leave it group as well. And so, you know, you might like it, but, you know, you're sort of singing take it or leave it, opt in, opt out. You may feel like that singing is just kind of frills in the church service or a bit of elevator music while we organize ourselves to do other things. But it also may be that you do find singing hard as well, or times when it's hard, you know, like if you've got stuff going on emotionally, that can be hard to come and sing. So just take a moment, and if you want, you can share to the person next to you where you feel you might be on the spectrum. So, on that spectrum. it's such that saying these days means certain things. Alrighty, it was just a chance to quickly share where you're at. Now, for me, that statement that I put up before, I do see that the New Testament does say and emphasizes quite strongly that as we come together, it is both a privilege and a responsibility that we join together and sing God's praises. Now, the strength of that statement, you might find that a bit surprising, that the New Testament does foreground singing that strongly. It might even make some of us feel a little bit uncomfortable. But just if you'd allow me to just move around that spectrum a little bit and just press into it with some encouragement. So first up, let me talk to those amongst us who are part of that group where you might not like singing and you feel like it's a bit like eating Brussels sprouts, of which I used to be like that. That might manifest for you in things like when you're here, deliberately not singing. It might manifest for you as deliberately turning up at a time when the singing has taken place or most of it. Well, let me say to you as a pastoral doctor kind of thing, you know, when you do a checkup, I hope you have heard from God's word that singing is for your good health, your good spiritual health. It's part of a good, healthy spiritual diet. And some of the implications, if we continue to just check out from singing, is that we are depriving God of the glory and praise that he deserves, and particularly the way he has actually called his people to praise him, the way he desires for us to come together and praise him. And we also would be depriving others. As we've looked at that triangle, you see that singing is a way that God, through us, ministers to one another. So if we are deliberately checking out from singing, then we are depriving others of their spiritual health and how God is going to work through our singing for their formation as well. So I call on you to keep thinking about this and trust that God's goodness and his design for things is for our good. Keep meditating on that. God exhorts us, let us come and sing. And so it might feel like Brussels sprouts, but it's God. And so God's exhortations, his commands, are not about eating Brussels sprouts. They're actually for our blessing. And let me just press in a little bit too. Is it really that you don't like it? Because when I look at myself and I think about years ago when I would say that I don't like singing in church, that here's the contradiction that was going on for me. I love singing. I was singing all the time. I worked in the music industry, around the music industry, always about music, loving to sing the songs. I go to the footy all the time, and I'd be cheering, I'd be expressive, I'd be singing the footy anthems. Loved it. At weddings, I'd be singing. On the dance floor, singing, I could lift the roof off. I was known for that. Okay, so you go, what? For me, I was thinking, over time, I started thinking, what's going on? And some people have even said to me, Tim, what you really need to know that when you're thinking about church is that Australian men, Australian blokes, really don't like singing. How true is that, actually? You know, I just watched the footy last night and there was a lot of blokes singing. Yeah, and I've gone to the pub a lot of the time and, mate, if it's a Cold Chisel cover band, you know, everyone's in there singing. Yeah, Rob Smith, who I've really appreciated his book, has done a lot of thinking on these areas, but he really challenges us as Christian blokes, where he says, look, a problem is revealed when those who claim to know the mercies of God through our Lord Jesus Christ enthusiastically sing at the footy with cheering, arms raised, even tears, but when they gather with God's people the following day, could not be more half-hearted in their praise for the one who bore their sins, conquered death on their behalf, and lives and reigns at God's right hand, for his church. So, brothers, let us think about, is it really that we don't like it, or is there other stuff going on? Because look, if we're fearful in here to praise the one of whom most people in this room think is worthy to be praised, then what hope, if we can't do it in here, what hope do we have out there? So for you, shifting the dial a little bit might look like this. As you start to try to grow yourself towards singing, is coming with some intention to grow in this. That's a great place to start. And for you, that might look like turning up and being here, not avoiding it. Then over time, it might look like just mouthing the words, or even just singing softly on your breath and allowing God over time to grow you in this as we prayerfully meditate on how it's good for our blessing. And it's a great training ground. Church is a great training ground to grow in these things. Now, for the take it or leave it group, this might manifest for us in ways where we're just easily distracted, and so we get diverted away from singing. And that's going to come if we don't sort of grasp that it's for our good and be intentional about it. That's when things can easily distract us and divert us away from it. And that can start right from the start of Sunday, can't it? That you know, you just find that all these things happen, and then by the time you turn up to church, you know, most of it's over, at least the singing. You know, people keep saying to me, "Oh, Tim, you know, the times on the website are wrong." Oh, really? You know, most people are here by 9 a.m. So maybe we need to adjust. No. So you might need to like just think about how do I intentionally get involved in the singing, because I know that it is for my good. If we don't hold that, then it's easy that coffee can trump it, the car park, wrangling kids, all that sort of stuff. And for those of us who do have kids too, as we grasp that God uses our singing for our spiritual health, then we want to get them here and be singing with us as well. You know, we here at church, we do break out and we do kids' church, but we want to keep as much as we can together, come together. What can you do to bring your kids to come and join in singing God's praises for their spiritual health? So for you to shift the dial a little bit, you might want to just reflect on what distracted you today and easily diverted you. And how could that be changed next week? So church next week is 8:30, and we start singing. There's even a warm-up song just beforehand, okay? And now for the Love It group, well, you love it, so keep it up. Yeah, keep coming. It's such an encouragement. But just notice this too. It is a command to sing, and so that just highlights that, you know, for some of us it might come easy to sing, others it isn't. God commands us to do things in a world where we do struggle to do things his way and for his glory. And there can be lots of different things going on. We can find it hard to sing at times. It might not feel intuitive. But for those of us who love singing, let us remember that all of us are becoming day by day more like Christ. And what can we do with our singing to encourage people? And particularly if there are people next to us who might be grieving or find that they emotionally just can't sing at this point, this is a great way to carry one another's burdens as we sing on their behalf. Okay. All right, so here we are. I was thinking if we've got time. We do have time. All right. So I've been hanging out there. What is it exactly about singing? You know, so we're called to sing, but what particularly is it about singing that's, you know, that's kind of foregrounded, and what does it do that maybe other things aren't doing or not doing in the same way? Have a look at this quote from the guy, Yip Harburg. He is the guy who wrote all the songs to the musical, The Wizard of Oz. And he says, "Words make you think a thought, music makes you feel a feeling, but a song makes you feel a thought." That's profound. Yeah, I reckon we kind of intuitively know that, don't we? We know that music and song, particularly lyrics put to music, have the power to move us emotionally and even physically. And we intuitively know that. Now, the Bible doesn't always answer directly all of our questions, like what specifically is it about the singing dynamic that we need to make sure that we're including as we come together. The Bible doesn't directly answer all those questions, but it does encourage us to wisely explore this wonderful world. And over the years, I've been reading a fair bit of stuff from these guys here. Rob Smith, that I mentioned before, and Megan Ng. They're both Christians, and they've also done a lot of research and drawn together all these findings from the fields of neuroscience, biology, psychology, all those kind of things, to explore how our bodies and souls are integrated and the effect of music on that. And what they've shown is that, this is all the sciences, show what we all know by experience, is that they are tied together. You know, our feelings and our bodies are tied together, particularly as we hear music. And so some of the conclusions that lots of the studies and research have shown is that when we feel emotions, emotions actually come forth from the way that we view the world. So our perceptions are primarily what drive or give rise to certain emotions. So as you think of something as beautiful or ugly in the world, you will feel emotions that will kind of lead you towards it or make you have an aversion to it. So beauty and ugly, worth or not, the way things are right or not, that's usually how your emotions flow, to kind of drive you both relationally towards or away or spatially towards and away. And the research also shows that our emotions come out from inward, outward into our body. We express our emotions through our body. And that's as simple as a smile, right? You know, you smile when you're happy and frown. It's very hard to totally repress every single emotion. It kind of naturally comes out. And body postures, so there's lots of research that shows that if you're sad, you droop, you're closed over, versus happy and joyful, you're more open and expressive and you have, you know, higher breathing and all that sort of stuff. And so when they do brain imagery, what they see is that the same part of the brain that emotions are processed in the middle, in the limbic system, is the same part that lights up when your body moves. So there's this interconnection going on with emotions. And here's the other really interesting thing, is that the same part of our brain lights up when music is played. So you have this overlapping where music and emotions and body movement are all being lit up in the same part of the brain. And so they can actually map very scientifically now the things that, again, that we kind of know intuitively and in our experience, that certain music will actually evoke different types of emotions and even flow out into different bodily movements, such that you might play a piece of music and people might just not kind of notice, but they start tapping along, tapping a foot, tapping a finger, just nodding the head, and that can obviously blossom into full-on dancing, all those kind of things. And so as they map it and they put, you know, probes and stuff on people, they can see that the same physiological changes happen and the way people report of what they're feeling happen when you play certain music. And so, you know, like, music people have always known this, and that's the way they shape their music, that if you have a major chord or songs made up of major chords, then you feel happy and bright. If you have minor chords, sad. Now, those of us who are musical in the room would know about that, but there might not be some, so I'll give you a demonstration, right? I think you'll hear this. So, sorry, Harry. Yeah, that works. Cool. All right, so if I play a major chord, that just feels happy. Feel happy? Yeah, all the major chords. They're happy chords. So people will build songs out of major chords if they want to express or evoke emotions that are happy and joyful. But then if you just drop the third note down a semitone, Sounds sad, doesn't it? Yeah? So that's a smile. That's the frown. Yeah? Yeah. And so, you know, as they put together, they can show that it's true that as you build a song musically around major chords, you can evoke senses of happiness and joy and also sadness. And then you put a bit of rhythm in it. That might make you start to tap, yeah? You feel it? It might even make you want to stand up and rejoice in your maker. That's a song we're going to play soon. Yeah? And that's so that we're going to do the rejoice song shortly, and you'll see that the music is built around getting us to stand up and rejoice our maker. But then, you know, they've even shown that as you have a rising melody, that will create hope and excitement in people. And as you have a falling melody, that will create, it could be sadness or introspection or depth or gravity. And so this falling progression. Does that sound a little familiar? Lord, I need you. So we're going to sing that shortly. And it's just wonderfully constructed as a song that as you have that falling progression, it helps evoke in us what the lyrics are talking about, that we are confessing before God and we bow here and find our rest. So that's all coming up. Now, another thing that they've shown is that rhythm, as you have rhythm in a song, that has this amazing ability to unite people in their nervous systems. And as they are united in their nervous systems and start moving and expressing in synchronization, that people in a group will feel the same emotion. They'll feel the same emotion. And as they see one another expressing that, the sense of empathy grows and the intensity of the emotion happens. Now, what are we to make of all this? Well, here's my wonderings in the wisdom of God's world. We're always discovering, as Psalm 139 says, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made as human beings. And these connections of music and emotions to our body, is this how God is involved as he works through our singing? Well, my hunch is that it's so. So while the Bible doesn't directly fill in all the gaps for us, as we've seen, it clearly calls us to sing. It calls us to sing to make melody. The Psalms, time and time again, call us to play instruments as we praise God. Rob Smith, the guy that I've been referencing a bit, he has written in his book hundreds of the praise words that in their original and Greek language of the Bible, sometimes often just get translated praise in our English Bible, but behind them are all these words that specifically call upon God's people to have strong emotions as they praise. And also you can see even there's physicality involved in that, and that's just a sampling of it, but the Bible itself seems to be very aware that full-bodied, intentional praise that captures our emotions is to be part of how we praise and worship God together. So it seems to me that singing is aimed at fostering and expressing for us right emotions with the truth of what we are proclaiming. So quickly, here's some implications. Singing displays for us, as we sing, if it, as we've kind of seen what the world suggests with its wisdom, and what the Bible is telling us to do. Singing displays and experiences for us the unity we have around Christ. Did you pick up in those passages how, as we are called to sing, it's clearly calling us to unite together around Christ and these truths? So that suggests that we have a responsibility to make music that emotionally evokes for us the right emotions in accordance that's appropriate for the truth that God is sharing with us, captured in the lyrics. It also gives us opportunity to help encourage us to be full in our response to God, to include our emotions, and maybe for some of us to help remind us of some of those deep emotions we once felt about these grand, wonderful truths. So I'd like to invite the band up because we're going to start singing, so you guys can come up. As we've seen today, we have a responsibility to sing with one another, to sing in a way that allows us together to be heard by one another, to be seen, you know, whatever's appropriate for you, but that our hearts and our lips will join up, that we will express. So let me ask you as we sing, what would authentically express outwardly for you what is going on inwardly as we sing? Come let us sing, hey? Come let us sing. And I'm going to leave you with these words of exhortation as you can start. This is John Wesley. John Wesley wrote in the preface of his hymnal in the 18th century. He said, "Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it is a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of it being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan." Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we want to lift our voices. Your breath is in our lungs. We want to praise you here. Our prayers and our praise as we come before you, needy people who need your grace but have been made to stand before their Maker with rejoicing. Amen. Amen.